Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Tom.
Thanks for coming. Do you use a washcloth?
No.
Come on the face. Is it good for the skin?
Absolutely not.
If it gets to the point where I have to take a shit on this thing, I'm hoping it explodes.
That's Freak City.
Specifically for cleaning the ass.
I never thought of that.
Piss on me, beat me.
If I wore this to wake up my children, it would be immediate therapy.
A lot of men do, and it is nothing to be ashamed of.
This is awesome.
What is awesome?
I'm gonna fucking puke.
This is going to cost you something.
Privy to some non-consensual ass play.
So the whole family shared one bar of soap.
Yeah, and you would put it in your ass.
That's disgusting.
Interesting.
It's hard for me to not believe that racism's not involved with this.
I'm not washing here.
I'm Whitney.
I'm Duncan.
You also got really fucking dressed up.
I'm so happy we actually got to connect.
I'll try it out.
In case you missed it, you can stream 69 Minutes now at ymhstudios.com.
My wife is a huge fan of yours. I remember I was telling you that I kind of like dating. She didn't. That was not.
She didn't
dig that.
Red flag.
The vagina is designed for semen. Yes, it is. Yeah, but and so you can touch people. People can be touched, but they.
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey everyone, welcome to Dr. After Dark, 818-253-1693 for the... Hey everyone, welcome to Dr. After Dark, 818-253-1693 for the voice messages and the emails at drafterdark@gmail.com. Appreciate you being here. Keegan, keep an eye out for when we announce the live calls. We will be taking live calls as well. Speaking of live calls, our first date host, Lauren Compton, in the house every, when does it come out? Every Tuesday,
every
right?
Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. And ours was just out, which was great. My wife watched it and loved it, except she went, she goes, I don't like listening to you talk about this stuff. And I was like, I said, don't listen. It's fine. You don't have to listen. I wouldn't listen to you talk about this.
Most people watch it on mute anyway.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. So you have not been on this show since you become formerly part of the family here. How's it been?
Oh my gosh. It's my favorite thing to do.
I bet.
It's my new favorite. Like
you get to interview really interesting people and ask them great questions, and they always surprise and entertain.
My wardrobe has expanded exponentially. I've gotten so many new dresses, and
nice.
It's just been really fun seeing what I can pack my boobs into.
Many different first dates.
Yeah.
So everything good with you otherwise?
Everything's going great. Yeah. I'm in a great mood. You caught me on a good day.
Okay, good. Because we actually did one show where you were not in a good mood. We actually didn't even air that show.
I know. I was really bad. I was like, delete it.
It's okay. Don't want anything going out there that you don't feel good about. So, and since you've started here and since you've done this show, we started taking live calls on this show too. So that'll
okay,
be fun
cool.
Also. Okay. So we know a lot about you. Last time you were here, I learned about the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
Which was an extraordinary story.
That was fun.
Has that been brought up again by anybody?
So many times.
Okay, good. Because I was like, am I the only one that feels this is an extraordinary story? I want to hear more about it. And the funnest part about it for me was I was like, you know, there's a Disney jail. And you're like, yeah, I was in it.
I went there. Yeah. It's funny to me sometimes when people are like, oh my gosh, I follow you. I know everything about you. And then something comes up with Disneyland and they have no idea what that story is. And I'm like, you're either lying or you haven't gone deep enough. Like, because I feel like that story is very widely known now.
Now, is that because of the interview here or was it known
you
before
definitely,
that? Put a little rocket fuel behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is an extraordinary story. You told it like it was not that big a deal.
I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
It's okay. Now that's what we got to drill into a little bit. It wasn't, that was not the, somebody said to me that was the first time you'd ever had sex. That's not true.
No, it was. That was,
it was the first time you'd ever had sex.
Yeah, that's where I lost my virginity.
I don't think I got that part of the story.
How did you miss that part?
Because the whole phenomena was out of control and extraordinary.
Dr. Drew, I've had people take selfies on Pirates of the Caribbean and DM them to me. Since you posted that video, people like going to Disneyland and they're like, I'm sitting where you fucked that guy for the first time. And I'm like, oh my God.
See, I thought this was something that, I mean, it makes kind of, how old were you at the time?
I was like 18 or 19.
Yeah, so it makes sense to me, like an 18-year-old in a relationship, go, hey, why don't we try this, you know? But first, not just first for the relationship, but first for Lauren Compton.
Yeah.
How about him? Was he a virgin too?
No.
No. So first for you, I'm going to, you don't think that's extraordinary? Were you drunk?
No. I hadn't even had alcohol at that time.
Okay, good.
I just knew. I had heard so many people be like, oh, I had like sex with the football game on in the background, and it was like on the couch with like little Timmy's house. And it was like, they're all such lame sex stories. And so growing up, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I don't have a lame
okay,
losing
so this
my virginity
was a
story.
Thing for you. Okay, yeah. So good. Now it starts to make a little more sense.
But then I had no idea how I was going to do it. Until we got to Disneyland, and I was like,
and you thought this is the day. And,
today's the day.
Okay. And it's going to be Pirates of the Caribbean was what you selected, or did it just come to you when you saw the scene?
We went, when we were
let's put it this way. It seemed like the haunted house would be a little bit more, I don't know, a little easier to pull off. Haunted house? No?
A haunted house that would scare the fucking shit out of me?
Are you have you been to the haunted house at Disneyland?
No. Oh, wait. Is that the one where the ghosts fly around?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's just the two of you in those little bubbles as opposed to you with the family of four in front of you.
No, there was nobody there.
What? No, it's a whole
lot. Do you remember this story? Am I going to have to retell the story?
Maybe I don't. I thought I remembered it.
So we went on it for the first time and there was all the people.
Yeah.
And then I asked the guy at the front, I was like, when can I come back and we can just ride this by ourselves, like have like a little romantic thing? And he was like, come back at like 8:30. Like before the park closes. Usually there's not very many people. We can let you have your own boat.
Like right before it closes.
I guess. I
guess
don't remember.
It closes at 9.
What,
it closes at 9
it closes
certain
times
at 9
a
year.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we went and we had our own boat. And we were on our own boat.
I do remember being your own boat. I didn't know quite how that happened.
That's we went a second time and we went later.
Okay. And so see, the people at the Pirates of the Caribbean colluded with you to get the own.
They didn't know what we were going to do.
Right. I mean, they could
guess. But they definitely let me know when to get my own boat. And man, was my boyfriend at the time excited because I had dated him for 3 years.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he was ready.
It was one of the things I asked was, how long did this last? Now I know it was about
3 years.
No. The actual sexual event.
Oh, that 4 minutes?
Four seconds is what I bet. He may have been good for more than one after all that time.
He never even orgasmed.
He didn't?
No.
Because the guards came out
and those cleanup crew still made me swab the deck. I was like, there's no mess.
Oh, so you didn't tell me that part. I assumed there was a mess.
No mess. Mess whatsoever. They just wanted me to clean the boat. And then they escorted me into Disneyland jail.
That's so fantastic. So where were you when this all started? What scene were you going through?
Oh, it was the whole thing. The minute that boat turned the corner.
No, you must have gone. You weren't doing it on the waterfalls.
Well, I was sitting in his lap like cowgirl style. So I had a good footing.
Okay. So it was like when you. But if it lasts. Oh, wait. Where did they come out of the background and come arrest you? Was that when you.
When the boat docked at the end. We went through the whole thing.
Were you having sex the whole time?
Often, I mean, this was a long time ago, but yeah, I don't remember it like it was yesterday, but I know that when the boat started and turned a corner, we were having sex, and then by the time it docked, I had my shorts back on, and we were like pretending like nothing happened, and then the cleanup crew was there, and they had been notified.
So it wasn't like
security cameras.
So they didn't come flying out from some trap doors and stuff?
No.
Were there people in boats ahead of you and behind you?
No.
So everything was empty.
Yeah, there was nobody there.
Right.
When we went, we got lucky. I'm sure now it's not like that.
Right. But still, it's kind of. The details are important on this story because it's such an extraordinary story. How you pulled it off, that it was your virginity.
But did I pull it off? I got like arrested.
Well, I mean, could you pull it off without being arrested? You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
Because they have cameras everywhere and it's all infrared and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, and you said-
I want that sex tape. It's out there in the world somewhere.
No way.
There's got to be like a montage of people having sex at Disneyland.
Oh, that's interesting.
Tell me you disagree.
No, I agree.
There's definitely something out there.
Yeah.
On like Disney's Pornhub.
So where should they send that? To DM? DM
just
Lauren?
DM me.
Lauren Compton.
DM me, Disney. Disney needs to slide into the DMs.
You're right. Somebody's, especially in the days of iPhone, you know, somebody's at least just.
Someone. Mm.
So if I remember right, were you taken, did you tell me the handcuffs had like, they were like padded or something or had sort of Disney-esque quality
to them? They were like fuzzy cuffs.
Yeah.
Like they were the fuzzy
like
cuffs.
Like Toontown cuffs.
Yeah. They were like the kind that you would like go dominatrix on.
That is so funny.
With someone.
And did they put you guys in the same cell or was it a cell?
It was an office. It was like when you rob the mall or something. It was like some stupid office that was just all white with fluorescent lighting. It was like being in a hospital.
And the two of you were together.
And then there was a desk where like you had to, they took my photo and my name. And then they were like, you are banned for life.
For life?
Yeah, but then I changed my last name because I got married that to someone else. And then I got divorced and then I changed my name back and I haven't been back to Disneyland. So I'm really excited to see what happens.
Please let us know when you're going. We want to record this. Gentlemen, there's a whole special here, I'm sure.
Like what happens when I get in there?
Yeah.
Are they going to know? Is there a red light going to go off? Or is it like, woo, woo.
How they don't take your name when you buy tickets even, right?
I don't think they do. You just buy a ticket online now. Someone's just going to have to recognize
me. I have to witness
You know
this.
What? What if this whole, like, talking about it publicly is what gets me? Someone at Disneyland is going to be like, hey, Lauren Compton. Oh.
Yeah.
Think
about it. There's got to be at least a couple of iterations of employees since then. You know what I mean?
I hope
Who's
going to so.
Care? They're probably going to be...
Well Escort done. Me to Pirates of the Caribbean.
Can we see? We heard about this. Can we see where this all happened? Can you show us? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's going to be very, very different than your last experience. And what date would that have been?
Moved to California. It was when I first moved in 2005. And I moved on my birthday, which was in September. And then the guy that I was dating came to visit me. And that was either September or October.
So of 2005.
Of 2005.
So it's almost 20 years ago. And... I like the way you're present to the guy for... Was it a going away present, by the way? Because...
It was like a welcome
No, I understand,
present.
But did he moved back or he stayed wherever he was, right? I mean, did you guys keep going out even though you moved?
No,
to...
So he went back to... Texas. He lives in Texas. And so I stayed in California and we broke up.
Right.
I mean, shortly after that, I was like, well, no, that's over.
Did you ever think of doing something like that again? Well, you couldn't go to Disneyland because you were banned for life.
I've had sex in a Target dressing room since then.
This is a whole conversation. Target dressing room, that's kind of boring.
Boring. I know, but everything's going to be boring since then. I've had sex
well, that's
in a
what
field,
I'm wondering. If
in
there's
the
some,
back of a truck,
there's something,
multiple cars.
If there's something Disneyland-esque, any Six Flags experience.
I've done the circuit. No.
Okay. All right.
No.
For asking such an outrageous question.
No.
Okay.
No.
Let's go to some questions. Let's go to some, help some people, all right? What's going on? Okay. Let's talk to Shane here. Shane, what's going on?
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy.
I have a question about addiction.
About. He's from Vancouver.
Specifically about alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't... really had a relationship with my father most of my life because of his alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 15, I completely cut him out of my life.
Okay.
But over years of like listening to you, I've thought maybe I should have perhaps a little more compassion for alcoholics because, of course, my situation with my father made me kind of disheartened to alcoholism.
I understand.
So I just wanted to get your advice, see if you could... give me a reason to have more compassion or if I should have a relationship with my biological father that currently I have no interest in.
Okay. So you have somebody who's an abusive alcoholic in your life, which I'm guessing he was abusive, right?
He was verbally abusive to my mother and more just used alcoholism as a coping method and was more like a coward. Like, I'd see him maybe once a year, and he'd call me once or twice a year, but he'd always call me drunk or want to see me with.
That's abandoning, abusive. It's all in the same kind of category. You have kind of two choices. You can leave that person because they are not going to continue. It's not going to be nourishing for you to be in that relationship. Or you can go to Al-Anon and you can continue to work on things until you can change the way you relate to them and make it a healthy relationship. To the extent that it can be, of course, it can never be fully because of their disease, but you can at least take care of yourself in the context of that relationship. You chose to leave. That's perfectly reasonable. If he's in recovery, which you don't know, right? We have no idea if he's in recovery or not.
No, I haven't talked to him in over 10 years. Probably.
If he's in recovery and people, you know, it depends on how toxic the relationship was when they were using. But you want to tell somebody, look, we can have a relationship again once you've established a year of sobriety. Because, you know, a few weeks of sobriety, you never know what's going to go on. Now, so you have a choice here. You can, if you're going to get him back involved in your life, you're going to have to either get a therapist or go to Al-Anon. Or if he has been sober for a long period of time, you can kind of walk in and see how things are going. But if he's using, don't expect things to be very different. It's not going to be exactly satisfying. Especially, and you're gonna have to work on.
I understand.
You have to have people in your court. Annie and I were talking about this last call, and I made the analogy to dancing. When Al-Anon does, it's like you're out on the dance floor, and what Al-Anon allows you to do is to just walk off the dance floor. You don't dance with them anymore. And when that happens for the alcoholic, they are stunned by that because they're used to getting their way by manipulating and doing all these things. This allows them to keep their alcoholism going. And when the people around, it's a relational disorder. And when the people around them aren't willing to play anymore, it jars them. And sometimes
what's
it makes
Al-Anon?
Them get. Al-Anon is a program. It's another 12-step program for people, loved ones, spouses, children of people with alcoholic and
like rehab.
No, it's a codependency program. Do you know what codependency is? We really talked about.
We've
this?
Talked a lot about it.
But we have talked. We've talked about it in a show that we didn't air, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So, do you understand what that is? It's boundary issues. It's caretaking. It's wanting to fix people. It's reenacting relationships from the past in certain ways. And you have to kind of break that pattern. And you have to have a lot of support for that, or you'll keep doing the same thing with the person.
And that's
with the
what Al-Anon does.
Al-Anon helps you. A lot of all the other people that have had those people in their lives that have some periods of sobriety now or of recovery now themselves, they help you. Yeah, it works. It works very, very well. If you're not doing Al-Anon, people come to me all the time. They go, "Oh, what can I do? I'll do anything for my dad or whatever." And I'll go, "Okay, one thing. I want you to do one thing. Go to Al-Anon." They rarely do it.
Wow.
It's weird. They're like, yeah.
You can lead a horse to water.
I know. And it seems so odd that me doing something for myself would somehow affect the person I'm worried about. But it does. It does. All right, more Canadians.
Hey, Hitler.
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. I'm pretty sure you see what's going on there. So I finally have my my preemie home after he came home on Monday. But now I'm more worried about, like, going forward. He was born at 25, 26 weeks.
And did he have to stay in the NICU?
So, being a new dad, I know. Yeah, he was in the NICU up until this past Monday.
And is he?
We finally brought him home. It was two different hospitals once he got to a level. Sorry?
Keep going. He got to a level.
He got to a better level, basically, where he didn't need oxygen and he could start feeding more. So
okay.
And that's when they brought him to a closer hospital to the house. But it was NICUs in both hospitals, yes.
Okay. And does he have any pulmonary problems? Are there any gastroenterological issues, nutritional issues?
No, there was a little murmur the first couple weeks, but it seemed to have taken care of itself, so that's not an issue anymore.
Okay.
Otherwise, everything else.
Well, so you essentially have a normal baby at this point. He did what?
No, he got like a tiny little cold. It was like just like a basic cold, like right before he got released, but it turned out to be nothing.
All right.
only because he's premature now. Like, he was premature. I'm just kind of worried about, like, how going forward, if I have to be careful with certain things, certain environments, like, for the first little bit.
I'm surprised they didn't sit you down and have a little conversation about what to do for caretaking, no?
The first hospital was a lot better. The second hospital was, let's just say healthcare is free in Canada, but the nurses aren't always the best.
What? I thought Canadian healthcare was the gem of the world. I thought it was so great. People complain about it like crazy.
Yeah, on paper, I guess. But yeah. Talk to actual Canadians.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I do talk to them, and they hate it. Unless they have really no medical problems, yeah. They want to go see a doctor. Then if it's not a significant problem, well, then of course they pay no money. It's no big deal. It's great. But when you have real stuff, it's terrible. So, look, you essentially have a normal baby now. I don't know specifically what's going on with that child. When is your first pediatrician appointment?
Well, we already saw the pediatrician. It was 2 days after he was released.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems to be okay according to the pediatrician. But, yeah, like you said, like, nobody actually sat us down and said, like, you should be careful of doing this and whatnot. It was kind of just like, okay, here's your baby. You guys can go.
Yeah. I understand. I doubt that there's anything special you have to worry about with the baby. I'll tell you who we relied on a lot with our own kids. There was a old pediatrician named Brazelton, T. Barry Brazelton.
What a name.
Read his books. They're Brazelton, if you can get your hands on him. He's still got stuff flying around. Just full of old wisdom and ideas and things. And, you know, every new parent is scared shitless and doesn't know what to do. And babies make it through. They're pretty resilient. Don't have them around a lot of people right now, right? Obviously, because you don't want them to get a virus. You want her to keep to thrive and grow and, you know, keep maturing before you bring many people around. Infectious disease is your main problem, and viruses are the main culprit. And everyone wants to touch the baby and kiss the baby. So kind of kind of keep it to himself herself for a couple of months, and then you'll be fine, I'm sure. So check out Brazelton. So in doing a first aid, how many shows have you done now?
We've released 21.
How many have you done? Like 30 or?
30.
I think. What has stood out? I mean, when you think about, like, it's weird when you do lots of shows because you forget, you know, it all kind of blends together.
Yeah.
Except certain things kind of like you're, for me, your Pirates of the Caribbean story stands out when I think about, you know, the last couple of years of shows I've done. What kinds of things jump out or stay with you? Did people surprise you who they were? Nicer, not as nice, funnier, cleverer?
I think that I'm surprised at how vulnerable my guests get, which always surprises me because I'm asking like a lot of questions on dating.
Yeah, yeah.
So when anytime someone like opens up and they tell me something like a little deeper about their personal life, then I guess I feel really special that they're sharing that with me.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Has it been all men or do you ever?
I think I've had 3 girls.
Have those aired?
I don't remember seeing it. Annie has aired. Whitney has aired.
Okay. And when is there a difference between the men and the women in terms of how you?
The women are kind of raunchier.
Raunchier.
Yeah.
But of course, it's Annie and Whitney. So,
yeah.
So it's sort of a self-selecting population.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if this vulnerability that you're seeing is something that men have and you just didn't know it.
Probably.
Yeah. Because that's kind of a thing that women come to understand at some point in their life typically is that men are much more tender than you think.
They really are. They have all kinds of feelings and emotions and
yeah.
Like that's been really nice for me because I feel like sometimes I have like a guard up when I meet people because I'm like, like I'm always afraid of like getting hurt.
Yeah. Oh, men will treat you like shit. Don't worry.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa.
But we have this weird some remnant mommy thing or something. Men really, I don't know, there's a tenderness that they have for and about women.
Yeah.
Right? That it's just a tender spot. And so I remember as being an object of your date, that you kind of feel some of that stuff.
Well, I try to ask questions about the dating life of other people and like what they're into and stuff. And so you have to be a representative of yourself.
Yes.
So if you want to share with the audience, like, what it's like to date you. You have to, you have to lower that guard a little.
Yeah.
So that's always, that always is so, I think that's why I like it so much, because I really get to see someone behind their shell.
Yeah. It's like being on a date with them.
Yeah.
It's a, that's, I mean, you conduct it that way. It's a very smart way to do it.
It's fun.
My wife is a huge fan of her, yours. And that's actually, she was like, get Lauren Compton back. She's back on your show.
I love her.
So that's why you're back. But she could not listen to us talk. She had trouble.
Really?
Mostly because I remember I was telling you that I kind of like dating. She didn't. Mm-mm. That was not.
She was she like.
She didn't dig that.
Red flag. She's that's like, a red flag.
You like dating? I hated dating. I'm like, I was one of these people. I just enjoyed it. I had a good time. I liked people. You know, I was good. It was. And she was like, oh, no, I can't listen. I can't hear that. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I forget what you said. Did you like dating when you were dating more actively?
Not really.
Most women don't, which is kind of interesting to me.
I just felt like it's so hard to meet someone that you're not interested in. Like, I can't have like a like on a real date with someone.
Yes.
If I know, because they, you know, pretty fast if like you're interested or not. And if I'm just not interested.
Why did you see? Men are very pragmatic, right? Here's the thing. If we are not interested, we are not going on the date.
But what if you're already on the date?
Oh, you find out?
So I have always pretty much dated, like, not always, but I guess when I think of dating, I think of online dating, meeting someone online.
Yeah.
And then you go on a date.
Yes.
So when you go on the date, that's when you really see someone and you catch their vibe for real.
Yes.
That feels like a waste of time.
but it can also be, but it also can be positive, can be revealing in various different ways. Okay.
But I've never had a successful online relationship. Like anyone that I've met online, it's never worked out.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Ever.
Hmm. And where do you meet people then?
In real life.
But I mean,
I met my ex-husband in Vegas at a nightclub.
Not a good sign.
I know. What happens in Vegas should stay in Vegas. And then I met my current boyfriend at a restaurant.
Hmm. So with from peers and things like that.
Yeah, from friends.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. I've always thought that, I don't know, the whole dating app thing, it's kind of going down in popularity, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I heard on college campuses it's not used much at all now. Mostly sex addicts. And the reality is that only about 10% of people had real success with it. There was like 10, mostly sex addicts could sort of act out on it and stuff. And everybody else was sort of either dissatisfied or not getting dates or just it wasn't really that great a thing for them.
Well, I feel like you're seeing what someone looks like and then the girls always want to know what a guy does, you know? So it's like money and looks.
Also a lot, right. And so you really have no idea what's going to go on when you get in the room with the person. And a lot of women, my understanding is when they look at the data, is that a lot of women will not even contemplate a guy like under 5'10". So you're apparently statistically
I know.
That's true. So you're ruling out a whole bunch of guys
so
that might be.
So then they have to be funny. Like your personality has to make up for that height.
It could be great.
Yeah.
But
like
you're
Mark
not
Normand.
But you're, I love the way you're just shitting on Mark Normand.
I love Mark Normand, but he's short.
Yes.
And he even said that about himself. He was like talking about shit on himself, how short he was, but he's fucking hilarious.
Hilarious.
So it doesn't even matter.
Well, but this is the point. If you're ruling out a bunch of guys that are under 5'10", you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah.
You have no idea. And same thing is true of-
Also, guys that are shorter usually have bigger dicks.
Ah, interesting. Keep going.
But it's true. I mean, I've just, even my girlfriends and stuff, like sometimes like those small kings have a third leg to stand on. You know, it's just like a tripod. They just like bump it out and then they're just leaning literally on the third leg.
What's wrong, Eddie? he's like,
Well, and he's black, so he gets a he doesn't count. Geez. And he has a big dick just by being black.
That's Daddy Drew, show me how you sound that
you know
big
what?
Hog. I think it's
tell me I'm wrong, Eddie.
No. I think
I'm not gonna do that.
I think no guy's gonna tell you that after you've accused him of having a big penis. But I think you ought to do.
I just don't want to lie to her.
You ought to do some first dates where you interview those guys too. That'd be really
I know.
Right? Mm.
That would be really interesting.
I did all of my test runs on them.
Oh, see, you got it. You got to air those. All right.
No.
Nope. All them simultaneously. No.
Those were hard no's all the way across the board.
Hard no's.
Well, you see how I talk to Annie.
We gotta stop right now. Right now.
No, no, no. Keep going.
Nah.
And he's fun.
I think we got some voicemails.
I'm just gonna let this roll a little bit.
And he opened up.
Oh, in the first aid?
Yeah. When,
see, bring him back in.
But all the time, they always said, every single one of them, they're like, this isn't going to be on the air, is it?
Mm. Yeah, we did.
Cowards.
Every single one of them.
Cowards.
I know.
Got to be vulnerable.
Well, I have a question about dating.
All right.
For Lauren.
Okay.
Or Andrew, I guess.
Yeah.
So I went on this date, and maybe this speaks to, you know, how men and women see things differently.
Okay.
But so I went on this date, and we ended up like making out at this bar. And at one point, nice. I'm like, you're really cute. And she says to me, you're really interesting.
I think that's a compliment.
It is. Yeah, it is a compliment, but
how to take that?
Bad timing for the compliment.
Yeah, it's bad timing. And men and women use very different words to mean very different things. He's absolutely right. Like, for instance, cute, he used the right word, cute, because cute for a woman includes a lot of very attractive features.
Yeah.
And so for us, we just think our dogs are cute. You know, it's like,
yeah,
the cats are, kittens
yeah,
are cute.
Should I feel bad that I was perhaps but a little interesting. Shallow? Or
no,
I feel
no, no,
bad
no. I think you did. I think you played it right. But interesting, what do you think she meant?
I think that's a compliment. I don't know what's wrong here.
Well, he was talking about appearance, and she came back with something.
She
quite
was looking
different.
At him deeper.
We don't understand.
Interesting. Like there's like
you gotta speak fluent male.
Interesting is like potential. Like like there's something that I can dig into.
I'm
here.
Interested in. Yeah, interested in you. Is that
I would
similar?
That's what I would say if I were to say like, wow, you're really interesting. Like I would want to know more about you. I'd want to dig in and like get more info.
Are you still dating her?
What?
She's not interesting.
What was that? Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. This is kind of a male female thing. You're like completely read into whatever he was saying. What is going on?
What did you mean by that?
Oh yeah, I just mean I don't want to get into it publicly, basically.
Okay.
Well then quit. Look where you work.
Thanks, Lauren.
You're welcome. No, please don't quit though.
But she's right, guys. This is what's weird about you guys being so circumspect. It's like you work at YMH.
Yeah. This is where world. We all share so much information.
If we work at YMH.
We all feel shame. We all feel shame working here.
You see this glass divider?
All right.
Yeah.
You're right. You didn't.
That's a splash screen.
You didn't sign up to be up here.
That's true. You're behind the scenes.
Full shame.
But
all
still.
Right, let's take some calls. This is Jim from South Carolina. Jim, what's up?
Hey, so I've had warts on my hand for, you know, probably a couple of years now. I've seen the doctor about it. And they don't seem to go away. They recommended freezing them off with the over-the-counter stuff. I'm just more concerned that when I'm finger blasting my girlfriend, if she's going to get the warts in her vagina.
Are you in high school?
Sir Walter
Why are
Raleigh?
You finger banging people?
I'm not in high school.
Don't finger bang people. That's for high schoolers.
You don't get finger banged?
Well, it's just foreplay. I mean.
Hang on. Let's get into this a little bit. So, hang, gentlemen, cool your jets.
Cooling.
So, the whole...
Are warts contagious?
Yeah, but not so much. They're not HPV. Those are not HPV warts. Those are viruses, and they don't really get on the genitalia the same way. So, it's not that big a deal. But let's dig into the finger in the vagina talk a little more. That grosses you out.
Yeah.
But the warts gross you out, or the all of this whole conversation, no bueno. So it is truly the case that I think young males just want to sort of, that's some sort of achievement, putting their hand there, you know, it's like third base. I got the third base.
Put your mouth there.
Right. And adult women are not particularly interested in somebody's dirty, somebody's dirty fingernails being up their vagina.
Somebody's ward hands.
Yes, I'm certainly not the ward. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Jim. Nice. Well played, sir. Yeah. But women do like, hang on, let's get some information out here. Women do like sort
God,
of.
This is like that conversation where that guy was like, my cum is green.
It's always something.
Sorry, I don't mean to compare your wart hands funnier. To green cum.
So, but it does, women do like the outside of their vagina touch sometimes, gently.
How do we get the warts off his hands, Dr. Drew?
Freeze them off. There's also salicylic acid tape. Keep putting the tapes on over it. It kind of dissolves them. There's Aldera. There's all kinds of stuff for warts now. So you can inject them with interferon. There's all kinds of stuff you can do.
Well, I've tried freezing them, and they mentioned the acid treatment too.
Yeah.
But I work with gloves on all day, and my hands stay kind of moist.
Mm.
And so it's really difficult to dry them out and then treat them at night, and then they just get wet again the next day.
Try putting salicylic acid tape on the wart and then tape it on with some wound tape, like some cloth tape, and just keep wearing it all the time. When you have the gloves on and not, and that will dissolve them, and they won't be as apt to come back because your gloves probably have the virus in them too. You know, it's complicated to get rid of warts. It's hard to get rid of warts, but I want to talk more about women and men. Okay, are you in a position to talk about it yet?
Yes.
Okay, you okay? You recovered?
It's so hard hearing
the wart hands.
Ah!
Okay, I'm sure it's not unsightly. I'm sure he doesn't like it.
I know, but I feel bad. Like, it's like, I know he can't help it, and he's obviously trying, and, like, I hope he figures it out.
People tend to outgrow that kind of wart, too. As they get older, they tend to be less likely.
It sounds like he's growing into them.
Nah, how old is he? I didn't say how old he is. I can't see it. I don't see it.
And also finger banging.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to talk about. Because I think men have a weird sense. Look, a lot of men think a vagina is an inside-out penis. It is not, right? And so they imagine, well, if I had an inside-out penis, I'd want somebody touching it. I want somebody inside there doing stuff to it. And it's not like that at all, right?
No, it's not.
Thank you. Keep going, because me.
Well, isn't that how like trans, like a man becomes a woman? They like slice the dick in half,
and they sort of
fold it inward.
Yes,
yes. So it is an inside out penis.
In a way, it is. Yes.
And so I can see why guys.
Well, they before the whole trans thing was such a popular conversation item, men already thought that because they just imagine.
Is that
it.
How they came up with the surgery? They're like, I know.
No, it's not that. It's more that. More that like, well, I put the vagina, she likes having a penis inside and that seems to stimulate her. We must be the same with my penis.
God.
So, yeah, I know. So, but touching around the clitoris can be okay sometimes. If somebody
I don't mind like a circular motion with a thumb.
If somebody has the right touch, they have to be careful. They have to be, it's like petting a cat.
But guys like to do this like weird,
not
like
good.
Finger.
No good.
Twisty.
Yes.
Like in, and they think like, oh, I'm going to get my fingers in there and I'm going to move them around like this. And like,
that's what they would want.
Oh my God. It's so painful. It's like pinching all the skin. It's like, what if I took your dick and I just fucking pinched pinched your dick.
You're doing God's work.
You wouldn't like it.
Young lady, you're getting it through to them. This is what it takes to get through to men. Because gentlemen, any of this new information for any of you?
Finger banging.
I mean, I definitely don't. Yeah, put my fingers in a twist.
But did you know how much they
don't just jam?
But you know what I mean?
Around?
It's like, what is going on in there?
They think their fingers are dildos, and your vagina is an inside out penis.
See, that's
and,
a misconception too, is because you see the thing on the dildo that like goes like this.
Yep.
And trust me, if you put your finger in a vagina and you go like this, guys think that that's like the move.
Yep.
It in the move. Just keep your fucking hands to yourself.
I mean, it depends.
It kind of depends.
Okay, big dick.
Well, yeah. But her point is well taken for the vast majority of women.
Vast majority.
Yeah. That I've heard that more than once. And not personally, but I've been talking to people on the radio and stuff like that. And so, yes, you're doing God's work by straightening these out so men don't hurt more women.
Yeah.
And by the way, if women do like something, they'll sort of...
You can
like
say it. If you're into that and you like that, if a man can make you come with one finger, then
good luck.
Have at it, girl.
Doesn't usually work like that. It really doesn't. No. Okay.
The vagina is designed for semen.
Yes, it is. So you can touch people can be touched, but they let's go to calls. I'm giving up. I give up. All right.
Oh my God.
Oh, here we go. You'll like this. This is a relationship question from Jack. Hi, Jack. What's going on there?
Hi. I'm kind of dealing with a complicated situation with my ex.
Okay.
She came to me a while ago, sort of in not doing well in her relationship, and it's pretty unhealthy.
Okay, hold on a second.
And
how long ago was she your ex-girlfriend? How long did
exactly
you guys hang on? Hold on. How long did you guys date? How long ago did you break up? And why'd you break up?
We broke up about we were together about 3 years ago. We broke up about 2 years ago. And we broke up. It also wasn't the healthiest relationship. It more or less just got to the point where we were kind of ignoring each other.
That's why you broke up?
It got to the point where, like, we just wouldn't talk for days at a time.
Mm.
And neither of us could really stay like that.
Did somebody finally cheat?
No. Okay. Neither of us ever cheated.
Okay.
But,
and now they have
cheated on each other.
Okay. And it says here they have a kid together?
Yes.
That's awful. It's tough. And why are you involved with this?
And she came to me just kind of asking for advice about it. And I don't really know, because she seems like she wants to stay with him if he can get healthier. And I'm for that. But if he can't, obviously, it's not healthy for
What does healthier mean? What does that mean? He needs to get healthier. Needs to go to the gym a little more often.
Like mentally, like he's sort of depressed and stuff. He says that's why he's trying to. First he cheated on her, and now he's trying to take a break and possibly date other people and then get back together.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
No, that's a no-go. That's a no-go.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So,
And I want to tell her that, but obviously it feels like I have a vested interest.
Do you want to get back with her?
I want her...
That's a yes.
That's a yes, Jack.
That's a yes.
If he can get his act together, then I think she should stay with him because she obviously really cares about him, but I don't like seeing her hurt.
All right. So, Lauren, what do you think?
I mean, I don't see how their relationship's really going to work out. And if it does, I think there like needs to be professional help involved, not your help.
Yeah. So,
I'm
not sure I would have said it quite so harshly, Lauren.
I'm sorry, but I'm serious.
But yes, you're right. So the point is, Jack, stay out of it. Stay the hell out of it. No, she's right. Stay out of it. Be supportive. Be a friend. Be a good listener. Otherwise, stay the hell out of it.
Yeah, I don't think you're helping by being involved because you're making her feel like she has another option.
Right, an exit strategy.
Like, oh, if this doesn't work out, like I've got Jack on standby.
That's a lot of what she's doing here.
Yeah, you really care about her.
Well, I'd rather her know that that's an option than think she's stuck with him if he's going to be abusive.
Oh, boy.
You don't think she's going to do this to you too, bro?
Or something different.
Because she's also worried about being a single mother.
Yeah, I know, but that's going to be your thing. You're going to be you're going to be taking on somebody else's kid pretty soon here also, in addition to whatever whatever went wrong last time is going to go wrong again.
Yeah.
It seems to me. And Lauren is right. Some real help. Maybe at least get her to a therapist so she can figure her own shit out. People need help with this stuff. They will make the same mistakes over and over again unless they do something internally to solve these problems. Okay. Thanks, Jack. Okay, here we go. This is Kale. Hey, what's going on?
Just not long after our son was born, he'll be 3 in December, I started having trouble with depression and sex drive and, you know, the normal stuff.
Yeah.
So she talked to her doctor about it. He told her to wait a certain amount of time. Then we'd try to help. He started trying to help. Now at this point, we're on our third antidepressant. Now she's on Wellbutrin.
Uh-oh.
And she's taking Phentermine as well.
Jesus, why?
And she smokes weed. And so the Phentermine happened when she decided she was going to go get the shot that everybody's taking, and the doctor gave her Phentermine instead.
Oh, boy. So she's talking about she was going to get Ozempic.
Just recently,
she got Fen-Phen instead, Phentermine, which is stimulant. Not good. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, all right. This is kind of a mess.
Saturday was 2 weeks. She packed up all her I apologize.
Keep going. She packed up all her stuff and left?
Yeah, she moved back in with her parents. She said, I've done nothing wrong. She's done nothing wrong. There's no infidelity, nothing like that's going on. She's just unhappy.
Oh, boy.
So I'm trying to figure out what I need to do next.
Okay, please. Her whole medication management is kind of a mess. Get her to a psychiatrist. Psychiatrists are trained. They're experts to manage situations like this. There is an amazing new medication for postpartum depression. So you actually have to take it as an IV to first dose, and then you take it orally after that. But the data on it looks amazing. She should not be on Phentermine for weight loss. I don't know what's going on with her metabolic. She's still breastfeeding?
No.
Okay.
No, our son will be 3 in December.
Okay. Yeah, some people do that. But they do. They breastfeed until like they're 6 or something.
Shut
sometimes.
Up.
People do it. Don't judge. You cannot judge.
I can't? Why can't
you're pretty good at it, so keep going. I don't want to take that away from you, but it is, you know, whatever's going on metabolic with her or the weight loss, there's other ways to manage that as well, and not with a stimulant, which particularly not when she has a mood disorder and she's on complicated medication. And then, you know, ask that psychiatrist to refer her to a therapist. That's what has to happen here. But numero uno is get to a psychiatrist. A lot of people aren't aware of it, this new treatment. Certainly the doctors aren't aware of it. What are you thinking? You look lost
in
thought.
I'm like finally understanding why guys like to suck on women's nipples.
Well, the theory is that testosterone does that to us and that it makes it arousing to you because of that connection
stimulation.
Yeah, the stimulation, the connection.
And guys get stimulated too by that. Like,
oh, sure.
Guys fucking love that.
Yeah, they do. And it's interesting. One of the couple things I always like talking to transgender men, because when they get on the real doses of testosterone, the first thing they say is, oftentimes they say, "Oh shit, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you guys have had to contend with this. Like, this is really holy crap." And you were how old when
really?
This started? God did this to you at 13.
Oh my gosh, that's like a Roman Empire question.
And you know what Chaz Bono said to me once? He said. You know, I've noticed for sure is that testosterone makes, he said, eye glue to breasts.
Yeah.
Like he can't not look at your breasts. Like his eyes just go there.
Wow.
Because of the testosterone.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
So when you're having to say to guys, look up here, look up here.
Yeah, eyes up here.
They can't. Sometimes
it's like it's so hard. I know. I also have a lot to look at. I get it. It's especially challenging.
It's got
to
be tough. Let's see here. Daniel. Daniel, what's going on?
How you doing?
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, so last week I got hospitalized for strep. I have strep frequently. I get it like very, very often, but this is the very first time this has ever happened. It turned into like a viral infection, and they called it Fangiosis, I think, or Fangiosis. I think that's what they called it. I don't know.
No, you need to try again.
And it like covered my mouth
and like.
Try that again. What did they call it?
Efangiosis, I think.
I cannot figure out what you're trying to say there.
I don't know.
Okay. But things don't turn into viruses, right? You either had a virus to begin with, or you had strep, or you had both. Or you had virus on top of the strep or something. But efangiosis, what the hell would that word be?
Can we Google it?
It's not the right word. It's not the real word. He's trying to pronounce something that is not that. All right, but keep going. So what happened?
Hold on. Let me look at
that. Herpangitis? Was it herpangitis? Herpangitis?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Herpangitis. Go look up herpangitis. You'll see it.
Is that like...
It's a viral thing, essentially. Herpangitis. There we go. There we go. Viral illness causes high fever, blister-like sores in the mouth and throat. So you have probably had the sores all over your mouth and your throat and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Herpangitis. Yeah, herpangitis is not a strep. That is a viral condition, and it's pretty nasty.
Is it like herpes?
I had tested positive for strep like the couple days before this.
Yeah,
that's why I was saying that.
I see. That was either.
I've never had this happen before.
Yeah. Did they give you any medication for the strep? Those when you tested positive.
Ceftonir.
Here we are again. What?
Ceftonir.
Ceftonir. Ceftonir.
D-N-I-R.
I wonder. I almost wonder if that's a drug reaction that you had too. But anyway, okay, so fine. And anyway, you're fine now, right?
Well, no, I'm actually having a lot of lingering effects from it. Like you said, like with that
pain.
With what I'm having, like a lot of fever. My mouth still is breaking out.
Oh my goodness!
Like I'm getting really worn out from like everything.
Oh gosh! Well, you should see an infectious disease doctor then for sure, because something is not right here. Did they treat you with any kind of antiviral medication?
I'm going to mispronounce the name again. It starts with an A.
Acyclovir. Yeah, that may not be enough. How much were you taking? You taking it like five times a day? You taking it regularly?
Every two tabs every 8 hours.
Every 8 hours. Okay. Yeah, you can do that too. Acyclovir is the original medication for herpes.
Five times a day?
Sometimes you'll give them 200 milligrams, very, you know, spaced apart, very, you know.
Oh, my God.
You can do that. But that's why they invented things like, there's longer acting versions of these acyclovir-like drugs out there now because of how frequently you had to take the acyclovir.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, you've not been mistreated, right? Well, I don't know about where it came from, but you've not been mistreated, but I would see an infectious disease doctor to get this. Something's not right. It's not that clear what's going on. They need to do a little more testing, and you shouldn't still be feeling this way. That's too long. It makes me worried something else is going on. And there are going to be a lot of other illnesses associated with this kind of thing. I don't want to speculate because it'll freak you out if I start speculating. But
Dr. Drew, you're worse than Google.
No, because we always think about the worst things, but it's unlikely to be.
Oh, yeah.
Anything things,
that so. Happens to me, Google says I should have died 2 days ago.
But not only that, with a physician, our job is to rule out dangerous things first. So they always occur to us immediately. Like, we got to make sure it's not this, make sure it's not that.
Yeah.
Because we want to be sure of that. So do we have any medical videos by any chance?
Oh, no.
No medical videos. No. But we got some other TikToks for you.
Okay. Let's entertain Lauren with that. Give her a little break.
Actually, I think this one is medical.
Have you ever went to a public bathroom and there was just shit all over the wall and you're like, how the hell did that get on there? Well, I have the answer for you because I was one of those people that splattered shit on the wall.
What?
So basically what had happened was I had went 9 days without taking a shit. And I was just going to keep going, because I don't ever go to the doctor or anything. But I was at my mom's house. I was trying to walk up her stairs and I start crying because I'm in so much pain because there is so much crap in my body. And she sees me and she's like, are you okay? And I said, well, I haven't taken a dump in over a week. So I think that it's starting to take a toll on me. And she was like, oh my God, that's really not good. I'm going to go get you a laxative. So she runs to the store and buys this laxative chocolate bar and brings it back. And I eat it. And about 30 minutes later, it hits me. I'm like, okay, I got to go. So I go and I sit on the toilet, and for the next 4 hours, I am there fighting for my life. And later that afternoon, we have plans. We have this benefit to go to because someone in my family had passed away, and they were trying to raise money for his funeral. So basically, I needed to wrap this up because I couldn't, you know, I would feel bad if I missed that.
Yes, reasonable.
So after 4 hours of sitting on the toilet, I had like an hour left before we needed to go to the benefit, and I'm like, okay. For that hour, I was like, I'm good. I think that every ounce of shit that was in my body is gone now.
I love this girl.
So I'm good to go.
She looks so normal.
So yes, we go to the benefit. And basically, it's like where you buy a plate of food, sit down, eat, whatever. So that's what we do. And right after I get done eating, it hits me immediately. I have to go. So I sprint to the bathroom, barely make it. And I sit down on the toilet. But it doesn't matter because the shit just goes flying all over the wall, over the sink, all over the floor. Excuse me. And I start panicking because this is like a one-person bathroom. And I'm like, I hope no one is outside waiting to come in here. Sure enough, I open the door. There's someone waiting outside. And I said, I'm so sorry. I had an accident in there. Please wait outside. Like, don't go in there. I'll be right back. I'm going to go get something to clean it up. And I run to my cousin because she has children. And I'm like, hey, I need to use your baby wipes because I destroyed the bathroom in there. And she was like, okay, yeah, I can come help you. And I was like, okay, thank you. We walk into the bathroom and she is like, oh, how are you? Are you good? Like, how are you still alive after this? And I was like, you know what? Just, I don't need your judgment right now. Just get out. I'll clean it up myself.
Judgment.
And I did. Because I'm a good person like that, but
yes, you are.
Basically, don't ever go 9 days without taking a shit. Like if you go more than 3 or 4, contact a doctor or at least go get a laxative from the store. Because, guys, this was the worst experience of my life.
I don't have enough. I can't give her enough respect for sharing that with the world.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot. And her honesty and her openness and her vulnerability, to talk about vulnerability, that's a vulnerable young lady.
Wow.
Now, I, of course, have to know what Annie thinks of this. If you're the master. You're the sensei of said behavior. What do you think? She just didn't have the right training?
You know, we've all had a circumstance she needs more control.
We've all had a circumstance. Lauren, have you had a circumstance?
I've had one bad experience.
One blowout.
Mm. Yeah. Am I going to have to share this story?
I'm just giving you that opportunity. Should that be something? You know, you always leave me with something that I stay with me.
I had to go to the bathroom one time and it was really, really bad. And I cannot believe I'm sharing this story.
Were you out in public? Were you at home?
I was in public. Mm-hmm. And so I ran home in my car. And the whole time I had to go just as bad as you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. And I had an elevator that went up to my floor. And the elevator was very known for taking a long time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the elevator finally comes, takes me to my floor. You know, like the closer you get to the door,
your body's like, it's preparing for liftoff.
You have to go.
Yes. No, the body, it's like an imperfect science.
I don't know what that feeling is, but it's real.
It's bad. Yeah.
And so I get to the door, pull out my keys, trying to get the key in the thing. I get in the door.
Now it's panic.
And I'm wearing a romper.
Mm.
And so the romper has a zipper in the back. And so it's like a one piece pull up thing. And I get all the way to the bathroom. And I can't pull the zipper down. So I pull my romper to the side.
Nice. Nice move.
And I just shit all over it because it was not a clean poop.
Oh, but you got at least to the bowl.
I got to the bowl.
Again, well done. Well done.
I got to the
bowl. We're proud of you.
But you don't, I'm not
that
even
you're
gonna,
excused. The romper was a technical.
I couldn't get technical difficulty.
Technical failure. Yeah, it's unreasonable.
It ruined the romper.
Well, you know, the romper shouldn't have malfunctioned like that.
I agree. That's what I get for buying cheap shit.
You made it all the way into the bathroom.
I was there. But
no, you shouldn't be ashamed. I mean, this is your mom's house. This Brown stories carry great sort of meaning here.
Yeah, I'm not good with poop stories. Like, no. It's just so uncomfortable to talk about for me. Like, that and the warty finger banging.
Yeah,
like,
we've
just not a gross talker.
Yes.
I tell you about my sex life all day long.
I understand. We've,
but my poop life?
Mm-hmm. We've covered some challenging territory today for you. Yeah.
That was hard. I'm sweating a little
good.
Bit.
You've
I'm
done
like,
great.
Whoa.
You did good, and you clarified some details about the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
The things that I get some. I'll probably need to hear your story a couple more times just to get it all completely clear in my head what that experience. So I can really feel like I was there with you. And we've established that you're going to invite any of us to come
a live audience
to come visit when you go to Disneyland next.
I can't wait to ride that ride again. It's going to be very nostalgic.
You know, my wife
me.
Will be there. She's a big fan of yours. So, okay, we have one last question. Is there anything else, anything in the menu there you guys have that I should get to? Any videos or anything? The videos have been good. Those were two of the best videos we've had in a long time, by the way.
Do you have any more calls?
We do have a call. I just want to make sure. Yeah, I'll do it. All right, this is Nick. Go ahead, Nick.
Hello.
Hey there.
Lick more blunts, lick more butts.
Yeah, buddy.
So I have
okay, so hold on, Nick. Nick, I've got to explain. Nick, hold on, Nick. I have to explain what that was because you're each of these environments I live in or broadcast from or whatever it might be, create content, has its own language. Like here it's hey Hitler and you better be coming up in May and hey mommy and hey jeans and all that stuff. Well, I did a show with Mike Catherwood. He was my last co-host on Loveline. And he sang a song once Mike's been on the show a number of times and Rudy comes with Mike, right? Rudy shows up here. Rudy's a musician and he sings and next time Mike comes in here, we'll have Rudy sing the song, Smoke More Blunts, Lick More Butt. Isn't that what it was? Is that right, Nick?
Yeah.
Smoke More Blunts, Lick More Butt.
That's a good line.
What was the last line? Something about living your life with your brown hole shut. I don't remember the full.
Yeah, we'll get it from Mike one of these days. So, yeah, okay. You would agree with that. So,
yeah,
okay.
I agree with that.
Good. All right, so now keep going. Hoarders, what's going on?
So, my fiance inherited a house from his dad, who still lives there.
Mm-mm.
His dad paid it off fully. Put it in my fiance's name. No idea why. It seems a little strange to me, but he won't let us clean or fix the house. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to find a way to get him on board. Like the electrical coming down to the house is exposed. No working bathroom, no working kitchen. Coffee mugs haven't been cleaned in 12 years.
Oh boy.
Septic tank hasn't ever been drained. So like, and he listens to your mom house. So I'm hoping something you can say can get him on board with us cleaning and fixing the house.
So like, okay. So listen,
and he lives,
The one thing that always bothers me about hoarding per se is that it's often a symptom of other neuropsychiatric stuff, right? When I watch the hoarders on TV, I'd say 8 times out of 10, that person has a thought disorder, a psychotic illness of some type. But one of the other very common reasons that people get into hoarding is cognitive decline. As they get older, if they're getting any kind of dementia or mild stuff, it doesn't have to be severe, they'll start to neglect their environment and not really notice it the way you would if you're fully present. So I wonder if one thing you might do is get him to the doctor or neurologist, make sure there's not something going on that way. Is that a possibility?
So on that subject, he has been doing mushrooms for it since November.
Oh, my God.
No, since the end of September. Since September, every night to quote unquote help him sleep.
Oh my God.
And like he keeps asking us the same questions over and over again. And I'm like, look, I told you the same answer 12 times in the last hour.
Yeah, but the question, that's because he's forgetting. That's an Alzheimer's symptom, the repeating questions. That's a dementia symptom. And if he has a dementia, you can get control over things. You can get conservatorship. You can start to step in. In fact, let me caution you. If you don't, you could be accused of elder abuse. You have to be really careful with situations like this.
Okay.
It's like if you don't get him proper medical care, you will be the one accused of the problem. So it sounds like you have somebody who is neurologically ill As a result of it, they can't manage their
living. He sleep in his bedroom.
No, you need to get him to.
He sleeps in the recliner in the dining room in front of his computer, and we can't get him into his bedroom.
Yeah.
So, like, we're trying. We want to be, like, he stuffs eggshells around me because he, there's trauma between him and his son. And since I started dating his son, he's been way more polite. Like, if I'm around, he doesn't say anything.
I understand, but you need
politely take care of it.
He needs a proper evaluation. Now, if he is not sufficiently or so neurologically impaired that you have an obligation or a right to step in on his behalf, then you might think about public health and people like that, or outside agencies to come in and mandate the cleanup. You can't really do this one on your own. You're going to need help with this. You can also call social services, get social services involved. They are somewhat trained to look at the neurological psychiatric status and sort of make some assessments of that and make some referrals for that. So it's a complicated situation, but it is something that requires care. It really does. You deserve better than this. He deserves better than this. So there you go. All right, we'll finish on a high note like that. We won't talk about shitting all over the bathroom or warts in the fingers. And
it's okay. YMH will be sure to make that my promo.
Oh, of course it will. Of course it will. Unless you go
they'll
in there
like,
and fight.
Oh, something she didn't like to talk about. Post it.
Now you know what it's like here. You know, you've been here long enough now that you get it.
Oh, I'm sold. I'm here. I'm just like, I'm ready for it.
All right, before I let you go, other than me, who is your favorite date so far? You like Norman?
Man, you know, I will say this with all sincerity. I've enjoyed almost everyone.
You're going to leave that as a mystery where the almost was?
I'll say that I think my personal favorite was probably Ron White.
I don't think I saw that one. Okay, I'll have to go look at that.
Ron, I think that, and the reason why he was one of my favorites is because my mom is a huge fan of his. And
cool.
My mom, when I told her that I was interviewing Ron White, she thought that I was just the coolest thing since sliced bread. So that really like meant something to me because my mom doesn't really like to give a shit about
what you're
doing. She's like, whatever. You know, I like do Playboy and all this stuff. And she's like, whatever. And then when I was like, Mom, I'm going to YMH. I'm going to do another show. She's like, who are you interviewing today? Like, she always asks. She cares.
Yeah.
But she never knows who the fuck anybody is. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm going to interview Ron White. And she just was like, oh, my. And that was like the first time that she was like freaking stoked.
Nice. So, she's proud of you.
Yeah. I think it's more of all the feeling around it. But yeah.
Good. Well done.
I say Ron.
Well, Lauren, as always, you do not disappoint. Thank you for being here. Thank you for come anytime. Seriously, whenever you want to come in here, you're always welcome.
And you
particularly make Susan Pinsky happy because she just like, she thinks we should be doing every show together.
Susan has my number now, so she can text me whenever she wants.
Be careful.
She told me the other day, she's like, my son was watching this. It was like, it was something Jokers.
I don't know.
It was the show that we were talking about.
Okay.
Anyway, she was texting me and she remembered what the show was called. And then she was like, that was the show.
You're going to have to learn how to speak fluent. She has two different languages. One is spoken, and that one needs a certain translation. And texting needs a very special translation. You're going to send it to her and go, what does this mean? I have no idea what she's talking about. And God help you if you respond in the middle of one of her thoughts.
Yeah.
She will not see it. She'll just keep going. And you'll think she's responding to you. And she's five thoughts back in her own head.
She's so funny. The first time I had a call with her, I was like, hey, how are you? And she was like, oh, I'm all right today. It's like, whatever. And then she just like kept going. And I was like, what? Wait. Why are we just okay? And then she was so funny.
She didn't unload on you? She was waiting for you to ask why.
I don't remember what else she was saying.
She's stressed. She's busy.
She was going a million miles an hour. And I was like, okay.
You know, I really, really like my wife and I love my wife both, which is really an amazing thing. It's kind of an amazing thing. But I literally now at the point we've spent a lot more time with each other now that I used to be such a workaholic that I was not around, but now we work together now, we're around each other a lot. And I can read her fucking mind.
That's crazy.
It's weird. I mean, she'll sort of say something oblique and I'll go, what she mean, what she's thinking is, so I'll go, here's what's on, here's what she really means by that.
The best.
Yeah, it's odds, but here
well,
we
shout
are.
Shout out to Susan. Love you.
All right, so we'll see you at Disneyland.
Yeah.
She and I. Lauren Compter, everybody. We'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.